Okay, so we're continuing the Malach of Chovel today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the interesting things about Chovel and the Geder of the Ptur of Mekalkel generally and whether or not it applies to Chovel. So the Rambam, first we'll talk about the Chovel Derech Meriva. The Rambam writes in Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, that if you're Chovel B'chaveiro, you're Chayev. Why? Because you feel a lot better. You beat him up, and now you're very happy. So the Raifet says, are you crazy? This is Aser. How could you say that this is a tikkun? So the Magen Mishnah answers, as we've already discussed, this really goes back to how you read the Gemara, how you teach the Gemara in Daf Kof Hem Beis. The Gemara there is talking about Korei B'chamaso, and the Gemara says that it's a misakin because you feel better. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? It's kilo over the bodhizara. So the kasha is, what's the pshat in that question? So according to Rashi and many Rishonim, the kasha is, and therefore it's considered mekalkel, meaning to say that if you're destroying your character, your midos, you're doing an act that's like, it's going to lead a person to something like a bodhizara. So that makes him a kalkal. The Rambam, though, understood that the Gemara there is saying that, is this mutter? But it was a musar vart. It was the Gemara left the halachic discussion for a moment and now is discussing a midos discussion. But lemaisa, if it's av nachas ruach liyitzro, so then it's misakein. So therefore, Rambam said, koreh b'chamaso, for example, is chayev. Now, partially, that's because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that ein shichul guf is chayiv, but still, that's not enough because Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you need misakein. It's aser. It's not chayiv. It's mekalkel. So therefore, Rambam says the same thing, just like over there, avinachas ruach liyitzro is enough to be mechayiv you for korea. So same thing for chovel. You beat somebody up, and he's left with a bloody nose. So therefore, in that case, that's considered a tikkun. And the Ravid, who reads the Gemara like Rashi, says it's not. Now, let's assume that we hold like the Rambam, that is considered a tikkun. We would still say you're pater, l'chora, when you beat up your friend, because according to Reb Shimon, even if there's a tikkun, it would still be a netzricha legufa. That's basically what we saw with respect to korea. And the Rambam that says you're chayiv for beating up your friend is because he holds a netzricha legufa is chayiv. He paskens like Rabbi Yehuda. But the truth is, maybe it's not so pashut. Maybe, even though we pasken like Reb Shimon, chovel is different. And that's because, as we'll see in a moment, the Gemara discusses that possibly chovel be Chabura is chayev, that it's an exception, that even though it's mekalkel, you are chayev. So to appreciate that, we have to go to New Gemara, Kovav Amud Aleph, which we've already seen somewhat in when we did Korea. Let's briefly review that Gemara. It's a very tough Gemara, and there are a number of explanations in the Rishonim on this. I remember my smicha b'china with Rabbi Shulman, who was the bochein at that time, was on this Gemara. He had a vart in Taisvis. I can't say I remember his vart, but I remember he didn't like the way I was reading Tosfos. I mean, I think it was because it was wrong. Anyway, so the Gemara says like this, Tanu Rabbi Avo, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mekalkel and Pturin, Chutz Micho Lumavir. So Mekalkel is always Pater, with the exception of Chovel Lumavir. Why? Because there is no Chovel Lumavir that isn't Mekalkel. And yet we know that you're chayev. The Mishnayos tell you, for example, that we say, kim lebi d'rabba minei. And therefore, it must be, says Rabbi Avahu, that chovel l'mavir is chayev even though it's mekalkel. So Rabbi Yochanan says back, amar lei, puk tani levra, chovel l'mavir in the Mishnah. It's totally wrong what you're saying. Vimtin t'lomar Mishnah, chovel b'tzarech l'kovel, l'mavir b'tzarech l'afro. So the answer is, you could be chayev for mekalkel, but only when there's a some sort of tikkun. What is that? You need the blood, and you need the ashes. So the Gemara asks Akash and Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'anan tenan kol mekalkel and pturin. So the Mishnah says that all mekalkel is potter. How could Rabbi Avahu say that chovel umavir is chayiv if it's mekalkel? So Rabbi Avahu answers, Masnis and Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah that says kol mekalkel and patur is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree that chovel and mavir aren't an exception. What? In other words, the Mishnah, the chiyuv would be for Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rashi, kishetzarch l'kalvo, mavir kishetzarch l'offer. That's when chovel and mavir is chayev. But when it's a kilkol, chovel and mavir would be potter. And the Raisa that says mekalvo l'chabur is chayev is Rabbi Shimni. And that's because according, now, which Rabbi Yehuda and which Rabbi Shimon? So that's the big discussion here in the Rishonim. So Rashi says, oh, this is the Rabbi Shimon that we know and love. The machlokas of Bayadullah. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, all chovel and all mavir will never be a tikkun. And even if there is a tikkun, it's going to be a tikkun that's chutz l'gufo. So just like malacha shein shrich l'gufas pater, so too, chovel and mavir should always be pater, because they're always going to be a tikkun chutz l'gufo. And even if you're mavir eitzim l'kdei raso, for example, still, with respect to the havara, it's a kilkel. It's kilkel who eitzel ha'eitzim. In order to be chaya for a malacha, just like you need tzvich l'gufo, you need tikkun eitzel hadavar that you're doing the malacha upon. So therefore, if chovel mavir is chayav, it must be that it's an exception. That you're chayav even though it's ena tzricha l'gufa. And how do we know that this is true? How do we know you're chayav? So the Gemara explains, my time at Rabbi Shimon, medistrach kral mishra mila hachol ba'al machayav. Umedaz rachmana vara, gabi bas kolich, mamina ma'avir ba'al machayav. So again, the way the Rashi understands it is like this. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, there should be no iser d'araisa to give a bris milah on Shabbos. Aye, there's chayvel. No, that's ena tzrichel gufa slash mekalkel. And therefore, if the Torah says it's mutter, it shows you that absent the gzeres hakasav would be aser, and therefore we could deduce chovel b'chabur is chayv. And same thing with for mavir in terms of shreifas bas kohen. The Torah says you're allowed to heat the lead, liquefy the lead to do straight, or it's a Nisr D'Oraisa to do that on Shabbos. Sounds like it would normally actually be Chayev. That's why we have to Aser it. You would have thought maybe it's Mutter, but we have to Aser it. And therefore, you see that Mavir B'chabur is Chayev. So what would Rabbi Yehuda say to this? Rabbi Yehuda Hasam, Mesakin Hukin Ravashi, Dam Ravashi, Malusakin Milo, Malusakin Kli, Malavashal Psilo, Malavashal Samadim. And that is basically the logic of Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. Just like Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, you're chayev, so too a tikkun chutz l'gufo is chayev. So, luch oira, according to Rashi, what emerges is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, well, the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Shimon about chovel and mavir is basically their same machlokes as Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. It's not clear from Rashi what's the machlokes Rabbi Avon, Rabbi Yochanan, but the simple reading of Rashi, and this is what Tosfos says, Bidas Rashi, is that basically the machlokas Rabbi Avon, Rabbi Yochanan, is the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, therefore he thinks chovel umavir is, could be misakein, like tzarech le'afro, tzarech le'damo, and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Avon was just basically saying Rabbi Shimon's view, that every single case of chovel umavir should be potter, and therefore it must be that it's an exception. That's the way Rashbam says explicitly, and that's the way Tosfos understands Rashi. Now Tosfos objects to this, among other things. How could Rabbi Yochanan say puk tani levra? You know, it's not a Mishnah. It makes no sense. Just because he holds like Rabbi Shimon doesn't mean that the position could be repudiated and rejected out of hand. He just holds, you know, well, why did Rabbi Yochanan get so upset? Rabbi Yochanan just holds like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, you might paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but you can't just be dismissive of someone who paskins like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Tosfos maintain that the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, by Chovel, Umavir is not dependent upon their machlokes by Enes Yuchel Gufa. They had some type of Kabbalah B'yadam that they argued about Chovel Umavir, whether it is Chayev B'Mekalkel or not. And the debate between Rabbi Avon and Rabbi Yochanan was Alibad Rib Shimon. What does that mean? Alibad Rib Shimon, there is an exception here, that Chovel Umavir is Chayev, even though it's Mekalkel. The question is, how extraordinary is it? According to Rabbi Avahu, Rabbi Shimon says every case of Chovel Umavir is always Chayev, even if it's a Kilkel Gamor. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's wrong. We have no basis to conclude that every single case of Chovel Umavir is Chayev, even when it's a Kilkel Gamor. Rather, it's only when it's when there is a Kilkel, but there's also a Ktzas Tikkun, like Tzarech L'Kalvo. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would turn out that you're pater even if Tzarech L'Kalvo, because that's not a Tikkun Chashuv. That's the view of Tosfos, or he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, it's because there's no Tikkun B'Shas HaKilkel. So basically then there are three Shitos in the Gemara, according to Tosfos, as opposed to Rashi. According to Tosfos, we have Rabbi Yehuda's view. Rabbi Yehuda's view is that Chovel Umavir is totally normal, no different than any other Malacha. You need a Tikkun Gamor. And Chovel, let's say, Tzarech L'Kalvo is not a Tikkun Gamor. It's not a Tikkun Chashuv. It's like a very weird thing to do. Like you're not Chovel just to get a little blood for your dog. That's the way, again, Tosfos says it. Tosfos says to be Mesakein and not Mekalkel, you need a Tikkun Chashuv. And, or alternatively, the reason why it would be Mekalkel is because, like when they know Tam, that you need a Tikkun B'Shas HaKilkel. Here there is none. Tosfos, and especially Rabbeinu Tam, struggle to figure out how this is different than certain other cases in Shabbos where we don't seem to require that. So that's view number one, Rabbi Yehuda, that it's totally normal. Then within Rabbi Shimon, Chol HaMavir are an exception. And the debate between Rabbi Avon and Rabbi Yochanan is how exceptional is it? According to Rabbi Avon, it's totally exceptional. And therefore you're chayv even though it's a Kilkel Gamor. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, no, even by Chol HaMavir you need a Tikkun Ktzas. It's somewhat exceptional. Now, it may be that Tosfos is, and Rashi here are Lishitasam, about how to define Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. Tosfos understands Tzricha L'Gufa as meaning doing a melacha for the reason for which it was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, Tosfos could say that there are cases of Chovel Umavir which are Tzricha L'Gufa, right? Like the way they did in a Mishkan when it was done for a Tikkun. Whereas according to Rashi's understanding of Eina Tzricha L'Gufa, so then Chovel Umavir would automatically be Eina Tzricha L'Gufa, and therefore we're forced to conclude it's an exception. When we learned Korei, I believe, we mentioned that there are middle views in a Rishonim, not the extremes of Rashi and Tosfos, many Rishonim actually, partially learned like Rashi, partially learned like Tosfos, the Malamor and the Ramban, among others, who take such an approach. But let's just summarize L'maisa, what comes out from this Gemara. So what comes out from the Gemara is, according to Rashi, L'chora, we should paskin that Chovel B'chabura is Chayev. Because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we would paskin like Rabbi Avo, and therefore Chovel B'chabura is Chayev. So therefore, L'chora, if you follow Rashi, when we're talking about Melachas Chovel, like we are, there won't be a Ptur of Mekalkel. According to Tosfos, though, this wouldn't be the case. Presumably, it would be Pater. Presumably, we would paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, you're only Chayev if Tzarech L'Kalbo or Mavir Tzarech L'Afra. In other words, you need a Tikkun Ktzas, like Mila Vavara, there's a Ktzas Tikkun, because it's Tzarech Mitzvah. And likewise, if it was a Kilkel Gamor, according to Tosfos, you would be Potter, even by Chovel. And according to the Rambam, so he paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda, So Rambam definitely thinks that you need to be misakein by chovel, and anytime you did chovel in a way that's a mekalkel, you would be potter. It's just that Rambam has a very interesting position concerning misakein, that if you do it derech meriva, it's also considered misakein because of the nachas ruach liotro, and you feel better. You know, you got revenge on the guy, you punched out his nose, now you're feeling really good about yourself, and that's considered misakein. So on the one hand, he definitely requires it to be misakein, and he says, therefore, when you're chovel, that's mekalkel, you're putter. Now, you have to figure out, when would anyone ever be mechovel in a mekalkel case? We'll return to that question according to the Rambam. But he just has an expanded definition of what's considered misakein. And again, about that, we saw that the Ravid over there disagrees and says no, that when you punch the guy's nose, even if you feel better, that's still considered mekalkel. So Ledidan, and we said about that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So l'chora, even if you accepted the Rambam's position that punching somebody's face, you know, and making you feel better, giving a black eye makes you feel better, even if you were to argue that's misakein, you would still be pater because ein etzrich l'gufa. Now, is that so simple? Maybe we should say that just like, let's imagine, we hold like Rashi. So just like we say, chovel b'chabura is chayav, it's an exception, it's a yotze min haklal with respect to the din of mekalkel. So maybe it's also a yotze min haklal with respect to the din of ein etzrich l'gufa. Maybe you're chayav, even if it's ein etzrich l'gufa. So Tosfos on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph says, no, that can't be. We see from a number of sugyos that even though we hold that even if you hold a chovel, b'chabura is chayev, still it needs to be tzarech l'gufa. Rashi doesn't seem to say that. That's Tosis's kash on Rashi. Rashi would seem to hold that you're chayev for ein etzrich l'gufa by chovel. That's exactly what Rabbi Avo is teaching. And tzarech iyun, how he would deal with the rayos of Rashi. Now, assuming though, for a moment, that you do need sricha l'gufa, like Tosfos, so now we have a question, which is, what is considered sricha l'gufa when it comes to chovel? What would constitute sricha l'gufa? So the Magen Avraham, Shin Tez Zayin, Asif Katan Tez Vav, says that your chovel l'refua, like hakazastam, that's considered tzricha l'gufa because it's a tikkun and therefore you're chayev. Somebody is sick, they feel better by letting blood. So that is considered chayev. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So the Bir Halacha over there in Sif Ches, the Maschal V'Chovel says, wait 1 second, that should depend on the machlokas between Rambam and Tosfos. That if you're going to hold, and this is what we discussed in the previous year, we mentioned, remember, in the end of the day, there's a debate in the Rishonim about which melacha chovel falls under. According to Tosfos, chovel is asur kaz of shchita, ki adam ha nefesh, so there's a miktsas hotzas ha nefesh, and according to Rambam, it's asur kaz of dash, because of Mefarik. That was the debate. So the Bir Halacha says that question will also determine whether something like Hakazas Dam would be considered Tzricha L'gufa or not. Namely, if you hold Chovel is Dash, so then the Melacha Tzricha L'gufa is when you need the thing that you're extracting. Just like we said, for example, by Cholev, right? If you milk but have no need for the milk, let's say a woman extracts milk to relieve the pain, so then you would be potter. And so too, if you draw blood, you let blood because by taking blood of your body, you get better. So then that would be considered ein etzrich l'gufa. You have no need for the blood. And therefore, according to Tosfos, letting blood should be considered a netzrich legufa. However, according to Rambam, it should be a netzrich legufa. However, if you learn like Tosfos that the malacha of chovel is netzrich neshama, so then you could say it is netzrich legufa. In order to feel better, you need to be motzias neshama, and therefore hakazas dam would be considered malacha netzrich legufa according to Tosfos, but not according to the Rambam. In a sense, then, you could say that Hakazas Dam would, in fact, be Nisr Dereis L'Kulei Alma. B'Yasr Dereis according to Tosfos, because it would be considered Tzrich L'Gufa, and B'Yasr Dereis according to Rambam, because Rambam says you're Chayav even for Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. So therefore, certainly there's an Nisr Dereis, so we would say, of letting blood. Then the Magen Avraham, Shin Chaf Ches Sif Katan Gimel, says something extraordinary. He says, you know what? Extracting a tooth would also be an Isser D'Oraisa. He's commenting on the Ramah. The Ramah over there says that you're allowed to ask a guy to extract a tooth if a person has a toothache. And the question is, how bad does the toothache have to be? If the guy is so sick that he's begeder chola she'en bo sakana, right? His toothache is so bad, it's nafal mishkav, or he can't function normally, or the like. So then, even if extracting a tooth would be an issue, it would be mutter to ask a guy. Let's leave out the issue that we discussed earlier about nisaye yesh bo mamish or ein bo mamish. We mentioned at the time that the Taz has a major objection over there. He holds that it might be an issue deraisa to have a guy extract your tooth, because when you sit there and hold your mouth open in some contorted position, that's considered misayaya, and that type of misayaya is yeshbo mamish would be nisr deraisa. So let's assume for the time being, as we discussed before, don't really accept the view of the Taz, and we hold more like the Shach that even that type of misayaya is considered misayaya in bo mamish. So therefore, everybody's going to agree that if you're a chola she'en bo sakana, because of your toothache, it would be mutter to ask a guy to extract the tooth. But the question is, what about if you're not nafala mishkaf, you have a bad toothache, it hurts you a lot, but you know, you could go on and manage without it. Are you allowed to have a guy extract your tooth? So as says the Magen Avraham, absolutely not. Extracting a tooth would be an issue deraisa, and therefore, even when you ask a guy, you're nachwiz aser b'makom tsar, it's only mutter b'makom chol she'en bo sakana. And therefore, when the Ramah permits asking a guy to extract the tooth, it's only going to be mutter if it's a chola she'en bo sakana. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Now, the Prima Gadim elaborates a little bit, and he says the following: Delav mekalkelhu, dechovel lerefua, velodami lotzas hames. So l'chora, what he's getting at is that even according to the man de Amar mekalkel bechabura pater, like Rabbi Yochanan to some degree, or Rabbi Yehuda, lav mekalkel, who this is not considered mekalkel, and therefore you're chayiv. And then he continues, to lo dami lo tzas hames, meaning to say, it's chayiv even according to Reb Shimon, even though Reb Shimon says you're pater fein tzrich l'gufa. This is not like hotzas hames. Hotzas hames is in tzrich l'gufa, it's pater. But extracting a tooth is not like hotzas hames. It is considered tzrich l'gufa, and therefore you're chayiv. So the Prima Gadim, in explaining the Magen Avraham, basically said two chidushim here. And we need to analyze both of them, because both of them are actually quite surprising and somewhat perplexing. Chiddush number one, he says, is it's not mekalkel. And chiddush number two is he's saying it's tzricha l'gufa. So let's talk first about the second one. Is this going to be considered tzricha l'gufa? So I would have thought it's actually a tzricha l'gufa. I would have thought it's exactly like hotzas hames. He says it's lo dami lo tzas hames. I would have thought it's like hotzas hames. You have this tooth. The tooth has a cavity in it. It's cavities and causing you pain. You remove the tooth and you feel better. It's exactly like hotzas hames. It's silicus anezek. So certainly if you learn ein tzricha l'gufa more along the lines of Rashi or the Baal HaMor, this should be ein tzricha l'gufa. And it's certainly also ein tzricha l'gufa with respect to the tooth, right? You don't need the tooth. I mean, unless someone has a collection of old teeth. One of my daughters had a teeth extraction a couple months ago, and it was like a horrible looking tooth with like a hole right through it. And a dentist gave it to her in like a little pouch and said, keep it. And we're cleaning for Pesach. I said, you still want your tooth? And she said, yes. So I don't know, maybe it is Tzrichah Gufa. But I would assume that nobody really has much need for teeth with holes in them. So that being the case, so it's good that my father-in-law just came in now because I was making fun of his grandchildren. So if that being the case, we have the shaila of why should this be? Why should the extraction of a tooth be considered tzricha legufa? So perhaps.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't this just a kasha on tosis by a kasas dam? Meaning a kasas dam is more or less the same thing.
So good. So l'chayra, let's try to explain. In other words, maybe what you're suggesting is that the Magen Avraham holds that any time it's a tikkun haguf, then it's considered tzricha legufa. And the truth is that Tosfos in Moed Katan and Daf Beis Amud Beis at Sivur Maschil that tzarich le'etzim sounds like tzarich refuah is considered tzricha legufa. And what you're suggesting is we don't look at the refuah as like sila kamachla as much as tikkun haguf. Now, even if you said that by stam refuah, it's not so obvious to apply that to hotzas hashen. But that's the argument we could make. And therefore, you're saying that's why the Magen Avraham thinks this is tzricha legufa. Now, that might be a good answer, except the problem is that the melacha here isn't actually the hotzas hashen. In other words, bishlama by hakazas dam, so there we could say this. But here, what is happening here? There's no, we talked a little bit about when we did haircutting, whether extracting a tooth should be a violation of gozes. Probably not. So we're not talking about gozes. The malacha isn't actually extracting the tooth. Why is there a problem in tooth extraction? Because it's bleeding, right? In other words, whenever you pull out a tooth, there's going to be blood all over the place. But that lachara should certainly be in a tzrichel gufa, and for that matter, makalko. You have no need for the dam. You don't need the blood out of the body because you need the blood. Getting the blood out of the body doesn't cause any type of tikkun haguf or refuah or the like. You would, in theory, love to have a bloodless tooth extraction if that's possible. So you can't. It's a psik resha. Alkalpanim should be a psik resha de lo nichalei, which is ein tzrich leguf and certainly only asur midrabanan. So how in the world could the Magen Avraham say that a tooth extraction is considered tzricha legufa? It could be, I don't know. Maybe the Magen Avraham holds that the refuah is through hotzas adam. I don't know, something along the lines of what we talked about last time with mitzitza. And therefore it's nichalei when you're salik des adam. Just like taking out the bad tooth, it's also the bad blood. And therefore, just like we don't understand the medicine behind, the medical understanding of mitzitza, why that is going to be positive. So maybe the Magen Avraham thought a similar thing with the bleeding with the tooth extraction. And therefore, basically what you're suggesting, what we could say perhaps is that just like Tosfos on Vav Amud Beis and Subo said, with respect to Chovel, that it's considered tzricha legufa, whether or not you need the blood, or whether you don't need the blood, but the body would be healthier without the blood, like mitzitza by bris milah. So too, maybe that's the way he thought he looked at hotzas hashem. Possibly that's what he held. Yeah.
Is it shaykh to say the Magen Avraham would hold, I mean, we haven't seen this in Rishonim, I guess, but it'd be shaykh to say that he holds that removal of a part of the body, even without blood loss, is called chavala?
Which version of chaval is that going to be? Adam hu anefesh, not a tooth hu anefesh. Okay. And it's very hard to say that that's dash, and it's certainly not soveya.
No, I would have assumed it's netzilas neshama. Yeah, okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
If one says it's netzilas neshama because effectively you're being noitel neshama from this one aver, so ein lecha netzilas neshama mi aver yoser gadol from actually killing the aver, which you do when you remove a tooth.
It's not like the blood's in the Aver. You're taking out the tooth.
No, I know. But why is taking blood out of an Aver in a Tilas Neshama? Because it's not, even if it's not Tilas Neshama of Kol HaGuf, it's Tilas Neshama of that Aver. So even
that's what you're suggesting an answer to the question you asked a couple of shiurim ago. And you're saying that the answer to the question is, why are we chayiv for Netilas Neshama if it's not Dam Huanef, if it's not Dam Shehan Neshama Yotzeis Bao? And you're answering that it's, you're right, but it's still Netilas Neshama Min Ha'Eiver. And then you're suggesting that that taking away the Eiver is going to be a Kal V'Chomer. So I don't really understand that, because again, it's still only because Adam hu nefesh, and a tooth isn't a nefesh.
Adam hu nefesh el haver. No one would say, if I found a way of actually killing a person without spilling any blood, so it would still be chayiv for sheichet, even though I didn't spill any of their blood and Adam hu nefesh, because I
right.
killed them entirely.
So we said it's a tolda because there's no blood, but you still got rid of their neshama. So therefore, you're still chayev.
I got rid of the savers, Neshamai.
Okay. I'm not sure. That sounds like a big jump from what the Rishonim say. Okay.
Maybe that Avram itself is a big jump.
Agreed. Okay. Maybe. Ken Zayn. Either way, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav disagrees with this Magen Avram. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that there's no issur d'oraisa. At least if you hold Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is potter on tooth extraction. It's only Asur Midrabanan, even if a Jew were to do it. And therefore, it's mutter to have a guy do it, even if it's not considered Chola Kol Gufa. It's a Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Tzar, and it would be mutter. And I saw in the footnotes on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, says, alludes to the fact that maybe this would be Talin Machlokas of how to understand Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. Could be that the Magen Avraham was assuming like Tosfos and the Alter Rebbe is paskening like the Baal HaMor, who had a different type of definition. Not sure if that's the case, but one way or the other, that's the Psak of the Alter Rebbe. It's also the Psak of the Mamar Mordechai that it's Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. And the Bir HaLacha seems to be noted in that direction as well. Now, that is, again, chiddush number one that we said from the Magen Avraham, that tooth extraction, according to the Magen Avraham, is tzrichel gufa, and other achronim would disagree, it's ein tzrichel gufa. What about the other point that he said, which is that it's considered a tikkun and not a kilkel, not mekalkel? So the Bir HaLacha understood that this also doesn't make any sense, because there's no tikkun at all in Otsas Hadam. And even if you hold that Mekalkel Mechabur is Chayev, presumably we paskin like Tosfos' version of that, that there has to be a Tikkun Ktsas, like Dam for his Kalev. And here there's no Tikkun at all in the Hotzas Hadam. And therefore he thinks that L'Chayra, it should also be Potter Alts Mekalkel. And certainly, according to the Rambam's view in Ches, Zion, and Yud Beis Aleph, that to be chayiv for chovel, you need a mamish tikkun. So, therefore, you know, conceivably, if you hold like Rashi, who says we would pass on like Rabbi Avo, then we could see this as a chiyuv, as an iser d'oraisa. But assuming that we hold like either Tosis or the Rambam, then you should be pater al tzmekalkal. And the Bir HaLacha sort of alludes to a possible solution for the Magen Avraham, though it doesn't develop it. He says, well, maybe the Magen Avraham held something along the lines of what the Gra writes in Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Yud, that according to the man, De'amar, Mekalkel B'chabur HaChayiv, you're also Chayiv for Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. If you take a look over there at the Gra Sif Kan Yud Dalad, he's saying, according to the man, De'amar, Mekalkel B'chabur HaChayiv, you don't need Meleches Machsheves. And we'll see that in a moment. In other words, what's the p'tur? Why is Mekalkel Potter? So the Gemara Chagiga and Dafin Yudam Adalef, and it's quoted by Rashi and Tosfos and Shabbos, say that the p'tur of Mekalkel is because of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. I'm sorry, it's because of Melech Machsheves Asra Torah. Melech Machsheves Asra Torah, and therefore Mekalkel's Potter. So if you're going to say the Mekalkel's Chayev by Chovel Mavir, so the Mela turns out you don't need Melech Machsheves. And if you learn like Rashi that the Ptur of Enetzuch al-Guf is Kazim Lachav Machshav is supposed to Tosfos, then it would turn out you also don't need Shich al-Gufa, which is in fact what it does sound like from Rashi. The problem is, like we said, Tosfos brings rise against that. But conceivably, if you hold like Rashi, then the Psak of the Magen Avraham makes a lot of sense. But that would be very difficult to justify la halacha. So therefore, lemaisa de bir halacha, as I said, is no to la hakel, and he holds that if a person's in pain, they could have their tooth extracted on Shabbos al yedei goy. Okay, that's probably not that relevant, but what is relevant that emerges from that bir halacha is something that's very, very important, which is the bir halacha basically says that to be chayav for chovel, you need two things. Number one is a tikkun ktsas. If it's mekalkal gomer, your potter, that's the way we paskin, like Tosfos, and certainly for the Rambam, not like Rashi or Yavo. So number one is to be chay for chovel, you need tikkun ktsas. And number two, that to be chay for chovel, we would paskin that you need tzrich l'gufa. And that's why the Magen Avraham's position by Hotzah Shein is so difficult. So let's talk about now some practical examples of chovel and consider whether they meet these two criteria. In other words, are they going to be an isser d'oraisa or not? And obviously these are very, very relevant in terms of figuring out whether they're an isser d'oraisa or not, because if they're only asr midrabanan, so then there'll be room for leniencies in all sorts of situations. So let's consider each of the requirements. So the first requirement, like we said, is that you need it to be a tikkun ktsas, not kilkul gamor. So what would examples of tikkun ktsas be? So number one would be if you need the blood. So donating blood or a blood test. A blood test would be an example of tzrich l'gufa, and would be nisr d'oraisa. You need the blood because you want to test it to see if a person, has certain things or is missing certain things. And that's option one. So option one for nisr d'oraisa would be you need the blood, like a blood test. Option two would be, even if you don't need the blood, but there's a tikkun in the etzem hotzas adam, like metzitza by bris mila or hakazas dam or the like. So if you either need the blood, or the body is healed or improved when the blood is removed, so that would be an isser d'oraisa. Those are the two classical cases. The Mishnah Berurah adds a couple of other possibilities. The Mishnah Berurah, this is in Shin Tezayin Katan, just one second, Sif Katan Lamed, quotes the Meiri, who says that if you're chovel b'balei chayim kedei l'achlisho, so that they'll be easier to capture, that would also be misakein. So let's say you're going hunting and you shoot a deer with your arrow. Now the deer is weakened, it runs slowly, and now you can run and trap it. That would also be considered tzricha l'gufa. And also, case number four, that you could be chayev, at least according to the Rambam, is when you did a chavala derech kas nekama, and al yedei zeh you're meshakeach tzaro. And as we saw the Rambam argue. So those are four possibilities of how you could have an iser d'oraisa by chovel, and how it would, four possibilities of where it's not considered a kilkel, that would be tikkun ktsas. Again, tikkun ktsas because you need the blood, tikkun ktsas because the body's healed, tikkun ktsas because the animal's weakened, making it easier to catch, and tikkun ktsas because you feel better once you've injured the other person. Yes, Gabe.
Why isn't every time you remove blood at a tikkun, because you're always being make a stem? People always are getting healthy.
So I don't know enough about the science of bloodletting. Is it true that every time you bleed, you're getting healthier? No, only in the right, under the right circumstances. Lots of times bleeding is something that you don't like.
So Rav Moshe's heter for people to engage in blood donation seems to assume that it's always some type of tikkun.
In Achinami, at least Petara Sniff. I hear. He's referring to a tshuva Rav Moshe. We know that there's an isser of chovel be'atzmo, or chovel be'acherim, So the question is letting blood okay? So part of Rav Moshe, maybe's real answer is that the Isser Deoraisa is only Derech Nitzayon, as the Rambam says. But part of the answer from Rav Moshe is that we see that it's actually not harmful to the body to let blood, to give donate blood. Adarabba, it's helpful in some way, as you see from Akazostam. Okay. Kenzine. Okay. Really? Now the next, yes.
I mean, since Mitzitza is against this, but just to ask why, if the Malacha really is because Hadam Hu HaNefesh, so the blood removal is where you're doing the Harigah L'Didon, so why is it Shricha L'Gufa if the Tikkun, the purpose, doesn't revolve around the blood itself?
Right. The answer is that is still considered Misakein, because it's a Tikkun to the body from which the blood is released.
But maybe it's Misakein, but why is it Shricha L'Gufa?
That too is considered Shricha L'Gufa. Shricha L'Gufa doesn't mean that's what Tosis is Machadesh, just the blood. Shricha L'Gufa is also a Tikkun of the Guf, and that's what Tosfos and Maikatan says is relevant for all Refuah. As we look at this broadly, we look at this as a melacha which the body is healed or improved, and that's considered Shricha L'Gufa. Now, as we noted before, in many cases, whether something is Shricha L'Gufa or not will depend on how you define the melacha. Is Borer considered Shricha L'Gufa or not? If you look at it as Hasaras HaPsolas, like the Baal Mor did, then Borer would be in a Shricha L'Gufa. If you look at it as Tikkun HaTaroves, so then Borer is considered Shricha L'Gufa. And a similar point over here. So if we see the Shricha L'Gufa as the Tikkun HaGuf is, the Guf is Niskan Alidei Hotzas Adam, but that's considered Shricha L'Gufa. Just like Hasar Sapsolos could be Tzricha L'Gufa.
Yeah, that's more of a jump than it would be by Borer, because here the only reason that I'm calling it a Malacha is because of the loss of life defined by the loss of blood.
Yeah, but by Borer also, the Maisa you're doing is Hotzah Sapsolos. You're taking out the bad stuff, and still we're willing to see that as a Tikkun HaGuf, or for that matter, Gozes. Tosfos might not hold it that by Gozes, but the Ramban by Gozes, right? You're taking out the bad hair. You don't like your hair, and still consider Tikkun HaGuf and Nischayev. So, I think it could that model could work here as well. Though I hear what you're saying, that there's somewhat of an added chiddush here. The second point that we need to figure out for is to be chayev, as we said, to be chayev for chovel, you need two things. Number one is a Tikkun Sas. Number two is that it be Shricha L'Gufa. So what would constitute Shricha L'Gufa? So as we said, Tosfos on Ksuvos Vav Amud Beis says, it's Shricha L'Gufa if you either need the dam or it's a tikkun for the guf, like by Mitzitz and Hakaza, and the Magen Avraham. So those are the classical cases of the way in which it's Shricha L'Gufa. The Magen Avraham Reish Ayin Ches Aleph, quoting the Marshal, which is also quoted in the Bir Halacha, Shin Tes Zayin Sif Katan Ches. The Maslov HaChovel says maybe another possibility for Tzricha L'Gufa would be if you did it Derech Meriva and you wanted blood to leave him. We were saying before that the Rambam would say you're chayv because you don't need Tzricha L'Gufa. But the Magen Avraham, quoting the Marshal, says maybe that too is Tzricha L'Gufa. That's a bit of a chiddush. Al kopanim l'maisa. So what does that mean for us? So like we said before, a blood test would certainly be an Isser D'Oraisa. It's both Misakein and it's Tzricha L'Gufa. So there would be an Isser D'Oraisa of drawing blood for a blood test. What about a shot, though? And specifically, what about a muscular shot? Let's assume we're dealing with a case where there's no issue of refuah. For example, we're dealing with a chola. Typically, if somebody needs a shot, there'll be a situation. It might not be pikuach nefesh. Lots of times you need shots that aren't necessarily pikuach nefesh. But there could be a lot of reasons why the refuah issue is solved, as we discussed when we learned refuah. And as I said, there are many cases where people will want to take a shot on Shabbos, but it's not a situation of pikuach nefesh, growth hormone or fertility treatments or the like. So is there an issur d'oraisa of giving a muscular shot? When we say muscular shot, we mean a shot that goes into the muscle tissue. Most shots, not all, most shots are muscular shots. So we'll talk about the alternative in a moment. So l'chora, this is totally mutter on Shabbos. First of all, it's probably not a psik reisha, because you could give these shots oftentimes without bleeding at all. But even if it is a psik reisha that it'll bleed, so it's certainly mekalkel, and it's enet shricha l'gufa. Okay, certainly for the Mishnah Berurah, I don't know what the Magen Avraham would say. And it's lo nichalei. So we're dealing with a case of it's a psik reisha de lo nichalei on an isra drabanan on mekalkel. And again, I think oftentimes it's not even a psik reisha. You could give these shots in a way that, you know, sometimes it will bleed, a drop of blood will come out, but oftentimes it won't bleed. And therefore, taking these types of shots are, you know, again, when, generally speaking, when you get over the refuah issue, are going to be mutter on Shabbos. But what about other types of shots? So sometimes when you want to give a shot, you want to give a shot into a vein. It's not the muscle, but into the vein, directly into the blood vessel. And so again, if all you were trying to do was get the needle into the blood vessel and then release whatever you're trying to release, release the medicine. So that too should be okay. But the way that these shots are generally given is that you need to know that you're in the vein. So what's done is you draw a little bit of blood back into the needle. You see you're in the right place. And then you push the medicine into the vein. So in that case, it's much more complex. Is that going to be similar to the case of drawing blood, like for the blood test, which we said is an isur d'oraisa? Or is it possible that in this case, we're not dealing with an isur d'oraisa? So this is a machlokas among the poskim. According to Chazon Ish, sounds like it would be an isur d'oraisa, since you need the blood. And therefore, if it's not a case of pikuach nefesh, you shouldn't give, a Jew at least shouldn't do this type of shot on Shabbos. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach is uncertain. He says maybe this is enet shricha l'gufa, and he compares it to the case where we secrete a bit of milk so that the baby will be able to see and latch on. Now, if you remember, the truth is that halacha was very perplexing, right? It does seem like it's mutter. The Beis Yosef quoted the heter from Rabbeinu Binyamin in the Shilte Giborim, that Masha Noagos Shemekalchos me'achalav kedesh yochas adad v'yinak is mutter. So in that case, what are you doing? You're extracting a little bit of milk. You want the milk outside for a moment, in that case, so that the baby latches on. And then that's it. Now, this case, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, seems to be the same thing. You want just a little bit of blood, in this case, to know that your needle is in the right place. And then, great, you put it back in and it's done. So that's the potential heter. Now, the only problem with this heter is that we don't really understand that din then. So to be Madonna Milsa La Milsa to a din that we don't understand isn't so pashut. If you remember over there, Shar Tzion sort of throws up his hands. He says, well, I think the din is true, but I can't figure out why, because that really should be an Isser de Oraisa. And in the end, he says, well, there's different theories, and he says maybe it's considered, in the end, it's only mutter because it's a sakana, right? That was the conclusion of that bir halacha, of that Shar Tzion was ulai, dehu mishum dehu bechlal sakana im loyinak v'im kol zeh tzarchiyon. So, and this might be also part of the uncertainty in Rosh Shlomo Zalman over here. Can we really learn from there? Since we don't know that, don't fully understand that halacha, is it right to extrapolate from there to here? But maybe it is. Maybe it's identical, and for whatever reason, that's going to be mutter. This will also be mutter. Moreover, maybe you could say it's, you know, in a certain sense, it's not niskayim. You put the blood right back in. You know, there's another issue of asiyas pesach, which we'll have to get back to. If it's asui lahachnas ulahotzi, that could be another factor why that should be aser. But lamaisa, at least Rosh Shlomo Zalman is somewhat uncertain whether or not that's an issue to a rice or not. And under those circumstances, depending on the situation, there may be more grounds for leniency, certainly if done by a guy. For more of a discussion on that particular topic, take a look at the Orchel Shabbos in the Sif Lamed Zayin and Dirshu, Simen Shin Tes Zayin, note 58. We talked about last time, we introduced the question of removing the stem cells from the placenta, and we said that it's hard to say that's a case of pikuach nefesh, based off of the principle of the Noda Bihuda, Madura Tanyana Yardea Simen Resh Yud, that there it's talking about autopsies, we mentioned it earlier, you need some type of cholo lefanecha, here's not really a cholo lefanecha, nobody's sick now, you're just taking it out, you know, maybe at some point in the time, in the future, the person, the baby will become sick and the blood cells, the stem cells will be helpful. So it's hard to be matir al tpikuach nefesh. So we mentioned the tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss, Simen Chaf Aleph, and he's done in this question. He says, well, maybe this should be telling machlokas Rashi Rambam. If you hold like the Rambam, it would be aser, it's still going to be mefarik. If you hold like Tosis, it's going to be mutter. There's no issue of chaval over here, ki adamo nefesh, and the placenta is out of the body, the placenta isn't alive, so therefore it should be mutter, unless you hold of Gabe's theory. But even maybe Gabe would be matir this. So really we should be matir because we said most Rishonim Paskin like Tosfos, but lo yatsimide safek, it's not so pasha to dismiss the view of the Rambam. So then Rav Asher Weiss says another tzad, well maybe it should be mutter even according to the Rambam because it's mifkad pocket, because that's mamish what's going on over here. It's mamish kiel, it's munach bekufsa. It's not shayach to the rest of the guf. Right, you have blood over there sitting in the placenta. The placenta has been detached from the body. So therefore, this is classical case of mifkad pocket, and therefore even according to the Rambam, it should be mutter. He's not certain, no, not so into that, because part of the issue is it's very hard to know what mifkad pocket means. He has another tzad to be makel that we also ding zachzanet. Sad. At the end of the day, he does paskin lahakel. He writes at the end of the day, mikra din uchashev. He thinks that sof davar l'shtei hadrachim, meaning Rashi, Rambam and Tosos, enes or mifarik b'tzas dama mechavel hatibur al yedei mizrak ledidan shesar chovel nishum tils neshama. Sabalovsky was also, I think, noted lahakel on this shayla. He discussed it certainly al yedei gai. Another time this question of a chovel comes up lemaisa is for diabetics. Why? Sometimes diabetics have to be motzi dam and to check their blood sugar. So obviously, again, if it's a pikuach nefesh situation, then there's nothing to talk about. But sometimes there may be situations which aren't pikuach nefesh. And even if there is pikuach nefesh, the question is, should you make a shinoi? So the poskim say that you should, regardless, you should do a shinoi. Again, sometimes it's not pikuach nefesh, even if it is a pikuach nefesh, as we've discussed, we poskim that if you could be mishana, if you could do it in a way that there's no issur d'oraisa where without endangering the patient, so you should do so. So therefore, lemaisa, you should try to be mishana when removing the blood. So if you finger prick, so generally speaking, if you ever watch someone with diabetes, what they need to do is they need to push out the blood. So therefore, you should do a shinoi in both things. Number one, with the prick, because the prick takes out a little bit of blood, but it's not usually enough. And then you push, like you put pressure on your finger like this, so that more blood will come out. So there's enough for the test. So therefore, the poskim say you should do a shinoi in both. So if you prick, you could press it with your knuckle. The prick is like you press a button that does the prick, so press it with your knuckle. And then when you squeeze, you should squeeze with different fingers. So let's say if you usually use your thumb to squeeze, you should squeeze with a different finger. And that way, on both times when you're doing this iser of chavala, it's not an iser, but when you're doing the mice of chavala, of hotzazdam, you're doing a shinoi. It happens to be that nowadays, this question is quite rare, because most diabetics have devices that do constant glucose monitoring. So you might need to check your device, but that's certainly an iser derabanan. Even then, it's best to check, the press the button with the device with your knuckle.
But think the diabetic is chayev to own such a device?
Is chayev to what?
Does Rebbe think a diabetic is chayev to own such a device?
You may as well. But anyway, they want to. They make much life much easier from diabetics, as I understand. But anyway, sometimes the shaila still comes up because sometimes the device is malfunction and you need to do a bedika in the old-fashioned way. I saw there's an interesting machlokas aposkim in the Sefer Socheres, the Hilchoseha. So there's a whole sefer on the laws of diabetes. So he has a machlokas whether you should try to minimize the blood that leaves when you are doing one of these tests. So I thought perhaps there's room for leniency, because even if you hold riboy shiurim as an iser d'oraisa, because of the additional blood that leaves, that blood is useless. In other words, once you've had enough blood to do the test, any additional blood has no purpose. So it's mekalkel, and it's enshich lagufa, and it's lo nichale on the blood that leaves beyond what you want. In other words, if you need, I don't know, one drop of blood. So that second drop of blood is mekalkel, it's enshich lagufa, it's lo nichale. So even if you generally hold that, ribui bishurim is an iser d'oraisa, this wouldn't be an iser d'oraisa in the ribui bishurim. Okay, we don't have much time left, but I just wanted to sort of talk about one more thing very, very quickly, sort of more broadly about the Ptur Mekalkel, which we've been discussing both here in Meleches Chovel, and also we discussed extensively in Meleches Koreh. That's actually where the Mishnah mentions it. So we know that the Mishnah tells us Kol Mekalkelin are Pturim, and we mentioned earlier today that the makor for this p'tur, as the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yoram Dalf says, is because it's Anis Vichel Gufa. The p'tur of Mekalkel is shayach, even when there is some type of tikkun mitzad acher. For example, we saw in the Gemara in Ein Gimel on the base, that according to Yehuda, that Melach Shen Shichel Gufa is potter, but still, chofer guma, the Einot Tzarech El Afra is potter because of Mekalkel. Why? Because the hole, the digging of the hole is Mekalkel, right? Let's assume it's inside, so I don't want a hole in my house. Now it's true that there's a tikkun with respect to the dirt. In other words, that's really what I wanted. I wanted to get some dirt to do some kisui hadam or cover my tzor or whatever it is. But that doesn't make it mesakein. It's still going to be mekalkel. So, and not only that, but according to Reb Shimon, at the very least, it seems, and this depends on the sugya, how you read it, on kufav, as we discussed, but something that's a tikkun mitzad acher is still going to be mekalkel. Let's say, l'shakeya chamaso, if you don't want like the Rambam, is going to be, according to Rashi, as we saw, would be mekalkel, the Ravid. And according to Rashi, actually, the Pashtus is even if you're Korea for a mitzvah, it would be mekalkel, or at least enes v'chel gufa, according to Reb Shimon. And that's the tricky part in the sugya, both on Kof Hamid Beis and the sugya in Kof Ahmed Aleph, Bedas Rashi, figuring out when the Ptur is alts mekalkel, when is it alts enes v'chel gufa. Now, on the tzad that you are chai for Shimon from a kakal b'chabura, so we talked about this also. Does that indicate, that l'chor indicates you don't need melechas machsheves? And is there any other nafkamina for chovel, right? We talked about the machlokas, Marayim, Tanayim, Rishonim, about whether chovel b'chabura is chayev. Let's assume that it is chayev. Is there anything else unique about chovel? So it stands to reason that there should be. because if you hold that Mekalkel is Pater because it's not Meleches Machsheves, and we're saying then you're Chayav for Chovel, so maybe other things that are Pater Alts Meleches Machsheves would also not be Pater for Chovel. So the answer is the Gemara in Krisos on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis says this exact point. It says that just like Mekalkel B'Chaburas Chayav, so too Misasik B'Chaburas Chayav. The Gemara over there says there's a Mishnah that it's Hayulosh De Tinokos Echad Lamo B'Shabes V'Echad Lamo Achar Shabes, and you got confused, and you gave the baby, you know, that was supposed to have the bris on Sunday, bris on Shabbos. So it's machlokas tonight whether you're chayv chatas or not. Rabbi Yeshua says you're chayv, and even when the man never potter, you're only potter because you did it in the context of a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, isn't that misasik? And the Gemara answers, amalo hanach latinokos hol makalka b'chabur chayv misasik b'chabur nami chayv. So just like at least if you hold makalka b'chabur chayv, so too you're going to hold misasik b'chabur chayv. Now here we have to go back to a point that we made earlier in the year, which is that there are two types of misasek, as Tosas on Ayin Beis on the Beis and Shabbos says. There's the misasek of Kol Tarkula, which is a Ptur Chattis that's derived from Parshas Vayikra, and that would still be relevant for Mekalkel. You would be Pater from a Chattis. But then there's a special Ptur of misasek of Meleches Machsheves, as the Gemara over there in Krisus Yotes and Abay says. And that's more expansive. That goes beyond the regular din of Misasek. How so? So this is a bigger sugya, but there's two manifestations of that. Number one is that even when you intended to do Isser, you just did an Isser a little differently than you had intended to. You wanted to pluck grapes and you pluck cherries or something like that. You're mechavin to melacha, you did melacha, you just did your misasek, you didn't do it exactly what you wanted, you're pater on Shabbos because melachas mach Shabbos. So that type of ptur is going to not be relevant, according to the Gemara, for chovel, because since chovel isn't melachas mach Shabbos, since mekalkel, chovel's chayev b'chabura, even though it's mekalkel, so that tells me you don't need melachas mach Shabbos, so memela, there could be a case of misasek that's also chayev b'chi ha'gavna. But maybe at the same time, as we saw, Tosas proves from Sanhedrin Pei Hamad Aleph that you still need shvicha l'gufa even by mekalkel. So if we try to summarize what are the exceptions for chovel, it might be an exception that you're chayev from mekalkel. At least if it's not a kilkel gamur. Number two, it's an exception with respect to misasek, but number three, according to Tosus, at the very least, it's not an exception with respect to shrichel gufa. Yes?
If mekalkel is pater mishum melachas machsheves, then why is it a davar pasuk to the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda would require im mekalkel to be chayv melachas shenet shrichel gufa?
Why is it pasuk to contribute to what?
That you need, meaning the Gemara says there on Kuvav that even according to Rabbi Yehuda's Mechayv Lachashin, it's Rich Lagufa, it's only if it's with the Tikkun, not if it's Mekalkel.
Right.
So if Mekalkel is a Melachas,
according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no reason to assume that Mekalkel is an exception in any way. Mekalkel is 100% normal, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
So why aren't you Chayv and Mekalkel according to Rabbi Yehuda? By melachas shenet shrich legufa?
By. You would be chayv. You would
no,
be,
the Gemara
you
says
would
that.
Be chayv. You'd be potter. Because why? There's no basis to assume that chovel is an exception according to Buda. According to Rashi, that's because the only reason to say chovel is an exception is because every chovel is enet shrich legufa. So memela, for Rabbi Yehuda, that's Mechayev, Chovel is an exception. And according to Tosos, he didn't have this Kabbalah that Chovel is an exception. One or the other, though, Chovel is not an exception according to Yehuda. So therefore, you know, presumably, you know, you'd also be Chayev, you'd also be Potter for Misasek, right? According to Yehuda, you're Potter if it's mekalkel, and you're potter if it's misasek. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're chayev if it's mekalkel, at least to some degree, and you're chayev if it's misasek, at least to some degree.
I'm sorry, I'm meaning, I was going to confuse the Gemara, let's say about Korea, that the Gemara thinks that according to Yehuda, that malacha shenet tzrich l'gufa by Korea has to have some tikkun in order to be chayev. So why would that be?
Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the p'tur of mekalkel because it's learned out from malachas machshavas. There's no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon.
But he doesn't think that there's a chisun of malachas machshavas from malachas shenet tzrich l'gufa.
Correct. Well, remember, according to Tosfos, no, the p'tur of enet tzrich l'gufa has nothing to do with malachas machshavas. Right? It relates to Doma L'Mishkan. So certainly your question wouldn't be relevant according to Tosfos. Even according to Rashi, who seems to say that the Ptur of Enet Zrichel Gufas Kazim Malachas Machshaves, so then clearly there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, exactly what Malachas Machshaves teaches us. Does it teach us that you need Zrichel Gufa or not? Rashi says, according to Rabbi Shimon says it does teach you need Zrichel Gufa, and Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't teach me you need Zrichel Gufa. But they both agree that it teaches you it needs to be misaking. Okay, good. Now, there's a couple of interesting cases of kilkel that the Rishonim debate. We'll consider three of them, maybe just two, because we're running out of time. We'll just consider two of them. But first of all, let me just give you a nice marmakom on this discussion. Take a look at the Orcho Shabbos in Chela Gimel, page Resh Samach Zayin, where he discusses this question of the nature of the Ptur Mekalkel. And more or less what I'm about to say is the same thing as he says. So one question that's debated by the Rishonim is when you have a Maisa Kilkel that is a Tikkun Begufa Chayfetz. And number two is a case where you have a Maisa Kilkel that there's a Tikkun Michutz L'Chayfet, L'Gufa Shal HaMalacha. And the Rishonim discuss and debate both of those points. So let's first talk about the first one, where you have a tikkun kol dehu in the guf achefetz. Is that considered misakein, or is that considered mekalkel? So this seems to be a big machlokas. Rishonim, according to Tosus and Daf Kuf Avamid Aleph, and this is also the view of the Tosus HaRash, the Baal Mor, the Ramban, the Rash, the Ran, and Ksubas and Daf Hamid Beis, probably Rov Rishonim. So they all hold that if the tikkun, even if there is a tikkun, but if the kilkel is more than a tikkun, or I'll say it the other way. If the tikkun is more than a kilkel, or this is a normal thing to do, so then this is not pater alts mekalkel, right? This is considered misakin, because the tikkun is greater than the kilkel. So, for example, just where you see this in Tosfos, Rabbi Avon, Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Das Rav Shimon by mekalkel b'chabura. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you need a tikkun ktsas, and therefore it's dafka chovel b'tzarch l'kalvo. And according to Rabbi Avahu, it's chayv even if it's mekalkel b'chabura. But by all other malachos, you need this is not considered a tikkun, and you'd be pater. Why? Why is tzarch l'kalvo the equivalent normally considered mekalkel and pater? Because even though there is a little bit of a tikkun, but the kilkel is greater than the tikkun, and it's certainly not a normal thing to do. Normally you're not chovel to give your dog blood, and therefore it's considered mekalkel. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda actually says in this case, you're potter, because it's not derech lachvel b'chaveiro kedelite lakalva or lisrof gadish, because you want afer. Fine. So that's the view of, again, most Rishonim. We'll just call it Tosfos. That if the kilkel is greater than the tikkun, it's still pater alts mekalkel. And again, I think these are two sides of the same coin. If this is something that's normally done, even though it's an act of destruction, it's going to be chayev. But if it's an act that's not normally done, if it's an act of destruction, you'd be pater. Now, the Rambam disagrees, presumably. The Rambam says any type of tikkun is considered misakein and not makalko, right? That's why when you punch the guy's face, but you feel a little better, we say that's Nesaken, it's not Mekalka. And the Rambam said the same thing, you know, in three different places. He said that by Chovel B'Tzarch L'Kalvo, Mavir Tzarch L'Efro, you're Chayev. He said that by, that's not the Rambam. The Rambam said in Cheskes by Chovel Chavero, when you're Mechavim L'Hazik, you're Chayev, because you feel better. In Yud Yud, he said that by Korib B'Chamaso, you're Chayev. And in Yud Beis Aleph, he said that by Mavir Kolshu, you're Chayev, when you're Tzarch L'Efro. Fine. Now, this also would seem to be the view of Rashi on Kofav and the Rashbam, because they basically say that you're Chayev, according to Rabbi Yehuda, by Mila B'Shabbes or Sreifas Bas Kohen, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd be Potter, you're Chayev, because of the Xeris HaKasev, because not Shrichel Gufa. But the Ptur is really coming more out in Shrichel Gufa. It's not coming out to Mekalko. So it would seem that these types of cases are not considered Mekalko, according to Rashi. So again, we have here a debate between Rashi and the Rambam on the one hand, and Moshe on the other hand, about the Gader, where you have a little tikkun, more kilkel than tikkun. Now, happens to be an interesting question. When would you ever have Mekalka, let's say, for the Rambam? So it's very limited, right? In Cheskes, for example, by Chovel, he's right, Im niskaven lahazik bilvad. Because if I beat the guy up because I hate him, so then I'm chayav. That's considered misakin. It's only if I'm miskaven lahazik bilvad that you're chayav. In other words, if you're mazik because it makes you feel better, right, a person goes ahead, every time they're upset, they throw a glass against the wall. Now they feel better by breaking the glass, then they would be chayav. That's considered misakin. So it's only when you break the glass without feeling better, right, you're miskavin lahazik bilvad, that you would ever be chayav, according to Rambam. The Rambam also writes in Aleph Yud Zayin, he writes, kolam kalam p'turin, keitzad ha-reish chavu b'chaveiro, o be-behema derech hashchasa, b'chein im kara begadim, o sarfan, o shavar kelam derech hashchasa, reze pater. Chafer guma vein tzarch l'afra, it's mekalkal, and you're pater. So why are you pater when you're chavu b'chaveiro? Right? Didn't the Rambam say you're chayv? So the Magda Mishnah says, u'pirish b'shechavu v'kara shalo b'chamaso. So again, it's a very narrow p'tur, right? You're not angry. You beat up your friend, not because it makes you, since you're not angry, you're not going to feel better. I can't say you did it for the fun of it, because then that would be considered misakin. I don't know why you did it exactly. But that's the only very narrow case that you would be potter. Now, one other point to point out more generally about the Ptur of Mekalka, which I think we've mentioned before, but it's worth thinking about over here, is that in other areas of halacha, we might have a different definition. For example, the Gemara Chulin Daf Ches Med Aleph says that if you shecht with a knife, that's tekrovis avodah zarah, or mishamshe avodah zarah, so that it's aser b'hana, it's mutter to shecht a healthy animal. Why? Because that's mekalkel of sorts, because an animal when it's alive is good for three different things. You can use it for harisha, and you could use it for mating, and you could eat it if you want. Whereas once it's dead, it's only good for one thing, so it's reduced in value. Obviously, if you shecht on Shabbos, you're chayav. So why not? Why don't we say there's, just like it's pater als mekalkel for avodah zarah, the iser of hanah for avodah zarah, it should also be pater on Shabbos. So the answer to Tosfos is, yeah, that's different, because the iser is lo yidbak b'chol me'umam in acherem, that if there's a monetary loss, that even though it's something you really want, you're pater for avodah zarah, but you're chayav on Shabbos, right? Let's imagine I cook a steak. So I like my steak rare done, so I cook it forever. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, he's like killing the steak. He's ruining it. And from your perspective, I am. And it probably goes down in value because very few people like the steak that's so burnt. Still, that would be chayev on Shabbos. So according to Rashi, it's chayev because there's a tikkun kol dehu. And according to Tosfos, it would be chayev because be'enim bnei adam, it's a tikkun, and therefore it's chayev. So how do we paskin in this machlokas? Again, we'll call it Rambam and Tosfos, whether tikkun kol dehu is considered mekalkel and pater, or tikkun kol dehu is considered misakin and chayev. So Rosh Hashanah says there's no hachron poskim on this machlokas. But l'chora, we're mekel, because first of all, we paskin like Rav Shimon, that ein afichel gufas pater, and the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring the din of the Rambam that koreh b'chamaso is chayev. So it sounds like we're mekel on this shayla, though not so clear. Another place we don't have time to explain, but another place where the Rishonim debate this point is Pesachim Ayin Gimel at Aleph. And if you take a look over there, everyone is Lashitasa. Fine. The second case of Mekalkel that's debated is a case where you have a Maisa Kilkel, like we said, that there's a Tikkun Chutz Migufo Shel HaMelacha. Like, now we discussed this a little bit when we talked about the envelopes, right? Ripping up an envelope to take out the letter. We saw some Achronim say it's Nisa D'Raisa, and we were perplexed how to justify that position, right? In that case, it's a tikkun chutz ledavar, right? I get access to my melacha, but with respect to the envelope, which I'm ripping, it's definitely mekalko. So according to Rashi and the Rashba on Kufav Medalef, maybe it's talin machlokas tanayim by enetzich legufa, but certainly if you hold like the Reb Shimon, that you're part of enetzich legufa, so ripping the envelope would be considered enetzich legufa / mekalko and certainly be pater. According to Tosfos, so, not clear. Maybe you would say that's not considered mekalkel, except Tosfos would still say it's probably ein etzrich legufa, and therefore pater according to Reb Shimon. So that's why ripping open the envelope where you want the letter, again, not talking about the aerograms, ripping over in the envelope where you want the letter should be issued to Rabbanan, according to Rashi, because of mekalkel. According to Tosfos, because ein shichel gufa. According to Rambam, it's also pater, though, for a different reason. The Rambam in Aleph Yud Ches says you're only chayv if it's sosa on nas lebnos b'makomo. So l'chora, the pashtus is, that should certainly be pater. Another case that's discussed in the Rishonim, but we don't have time, is when you're mekalkel, there's a tikkun, but the tikkun doesn't come out from the melacha. And that's like the case of Chofer Guma Venetzach L'Afer, which certainly is Potter. And then you have to figure, all right, we'll leave that. So we'll stop over here. And Bezos Hashem on Thursday, we will do, as I said, we'll do the new Malacha of Ma'abed and Mesartate. It should be a short shiur. There's not that much. Most of this Sugya of Ma'abed is in the Dirabanans of Ma'abed. By making salt water and things like that. And under what, you know, one very practical question we'll consider to think about in advance is a very common thing, you know, is it mutter to cut up cucumbers and tomatoes and sprinkle some salt on them? A lot of people like to do that. Maybe it should be also midrabanan. That's actually what it sounds like for the Gemara. So that's one of the discussions we'll have on Thursday. And I sent you the Mar Makomos for that already. Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Thank you.
Thank you for this year. Can I ask some questions?